reason from the scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. Why should we ask leading questions to make them think? And what are some of the questions we should ask? Join us today as I interview Dr. Ron Rhodes, author of Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. This is Kay Meyer, president of Family Shield Ministries, and your host for today's program. Welcome, Dr. Rhodes. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, Dr. Rhodes has written so many books. He is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. I always love to have you as a guest. I know it's going to always be a great program. And this is a topic that I know a lot about myself, but I learned so much reading your book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses. So God bless you as you help us learn about this important topic. Just give us some, well, first of all, I want to ask you, you had a note in the front of your book to let any Jehovah's Witness know that you have never been a witness. Tell us why you had that note in there. I found it interesting.
Well, it was kind of interesting because after the first edition of my book came out, that was back in the early 1990s, I guess, the rumor started to circulate that I was a former Jehovah's Witness, and this was a rumor among Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, they have a rule that you can't read literature written by an apostate. In other words, you can't read any literature written by a person who used to be a Jehovah's Witness but no longer is a Jehovah's Witness, because that's worse than reading pornography. According to them.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that they came up with to try to get people not to look at my book was they started to spread this idea that I was a former Jehovah's Witness. And so that's why I put in the beginning of the new edition of the book that I've never been a Jehovah's Witness. I wrote the book because I care about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
I want them to come to know the true Lord and the true gospel that saves.
I think a lot of times it's because if you know something about them, they assume you had to have been a witness. But I found it interesting because I have a little book much smaller than yours that I've written on this topic, and I'd never heard that they thought it was worse than pornography. So that was very interesting. I think it helps us understand there are some major differences. Well, let's just start with a few introductory thoughts as we begin. I'm going to ask you some specific questions about your book, but we're not going to have time to deal with everything, obviously. What are some of the basics that we need to understand?
Well, I think to begin with, we need to understand that the Jehovah's Witnesses use a lot of the same words that we use from the New Testament, but they define those words in a completely different way. For example, they do talk about God and Christ, and they talk about salvation, and they talk about Jesus' death and all of those things, but they redefine them in such a way that their view is no longer Christian. You know, it's a pretty sound principle that if you have a counterfeit Jesus preaching a counterfeit gospel, you've got a counterfeit salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we discover to be true of Watchtower theology. And, you know, obviously the term Jehovah plays a very big role. They believe that that name is central. And, in fact, you must use that name of God. You really don't have an option.
Mm-hmm.
You must call upon Jehovah to be saved. And, you know, they talk about how they're the only group on earth that consistently uses that term, and all other alleged Christian groups are apostates. Now, that means that you're an apostate, and that means I'm an apostate. And so I think what's real helpful for us as we dialogue on the doorstep is it's not just a matter of, you know, sharing Bible verses. It's also a matter of making sure that when we dialogue about God and Jesus and the gospel and so forth, that we define what we mean by the words that we use.
Good.
Because if you don't, no true communication is going to take place.
Absolutely. Terminology difficulties are abundant. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Watchtower Society, the organization that they believe in, because that there's a big part of reaching them is understanding the difference between the body of Christ and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Well, that's right. The Watchtower Society is the organization that controls Jehovah's Witnesses. It's in a leadership position. in the past, the Watchtower has been positioned as a prophet of God, mm-hmm. and Jehovah's Witnesses have been taught historically that they must have dependent Bible study. No independent stuff, just dependent Bible study. In other words, you can't use the Bible alone. You mm-hmm. must use Watchtower Society if you really want to understand the meaning of the Bible. In fact, one of their volumes, you know, the volume written by Charles Taze Russell, who was the founder of the Watchtower, he wrote a series of books on the studies and the scriptures and said that if you read his books alone, you'll be in the light. But if you read the Bible alone, you'll be out of the light within 2 years. So you've got to use Jehovah's Witness literature, we're told. And so it really is kind of a bondage thing. I think it's truthful to say that whenever they read the Bible through the lens mm-hmm. of the Watchtower Society.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that asking questions is probably the best way to get through to them, because when you ask questions, that makes them come up with the answer in their own mind instead of you trying to shove theology down their throat, which you can't do, by the way.
Right. I love throughout your book you have different information on the various topics that we'll touch on, just a few of them, but then you always have ask, and here's just one about the organization. If the Jehovah's Witnesses are the only witnesses for God, and if the Jehovah's Witnesses as an organization came into being in the late 19th century, which is a historical fact, does that mean God was without a witness for over 18 centuries of church history? Now, we didn't talk about that, but they actually do believe they are the only organization on earth today. So give a little bit of feedback about that question and why that would be a great question to ask them.
Well, it's a great question, because if God did not have an organization to guide people in every generation, what kind of God is that? You know, are we to assume that people who lived prior to the existence of the Watchtower Society never understood the scriptures and never came to salvation? And what about, you know, the people who are in the various languages around the world up until the time that the Jehovah's Witnesses started translating? Were all of them without the light? Were all of them unsaved? So the question is designed to get them to think about what they've been taught. And one of the things that I advocate in the book is it's not just a matter of answering their objections on these individual doctrines. Okay, you also have to, as much as you can, and in a loving way, undermine their confidence in the Watchtower
right.
Society.
Right.
Because, you know, the Watchtower is really the authority. It's
They're
the
trusting.
Authority backbone of the whole organization. And so by asking a question like that, you know, what about people who live prior to the Watchtower, that gets them to thinking about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to have happen, because, like I said, you can't shove your theology down their throat. I know, because I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
too.
I used to win every theological
yeah.
argument.
I agree.
And I never won a soul. I mean, nobody ever converted, and mm-hmm. I now call that the flamethrower approach to evangelism.
Yes.
It just doesn't work.
And it's so true, though, because they are trusting in an organization, not in Jesus Christ. They don't even believe in the Christ of the Bible. Their Christ is a false Christ. Their gospel is a false gospel, and you said that before. And so, you know, helping them understand these things through questions is
well,
critical.
Well, that's right. You know, and what I've done in the book, I know that sometimes it's a little hard to come up with questions. So what I wanted to do is just to make it as easy as possible for every reader. And so there's over 350 questions in this book that really help you to get them to think. And that's what you want them to do.
Yeah,
you want
absolutely.
To get them to think.
Right.
And the more that you do that, you know, the cumulative weight of all those questions will really work on them when they go home, and they're going to think about that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a very effective way of reaching them.
Wonderful. Another question you have in here, as we talk about, you mentioned that they want to only use the name Jehovah. According to these passages, and you just, there are several passages here you can comment on, were the early Christians witnesses of Jehovah or Jesus Christ? I love that, because they're really making Jesus less than he really is. And we need to point them to Jesus.
Well, you know, that's a very important point. You know, that's such an important point, because the Bible really is a Jesus book.
Oh, it is, yes.
You know, from beginning to end. What they've tried to make it is a Jehovah book, you know, and they've got their own translation of the Bible to support that. But, I mean, there's even questions that I'll ask them about Jesus to make the point that Jesus is absolute deity. You know, just to give you one example, I'll ask them about Isaiah 44:24, where Jehovah says to his people, I'm the only creator there is, and there's no creator but me. I created the whole universe by myself alone. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Only Jehovah is the creator. So then I'll ask him about Colossians 1:16 and John 1:3, where it says that Jesus is the creator. Mm-hmm. How do they relate? I mean, if only Jehovah is the creator, then what does it mean to say that Jesus is the creator? And of course, the point that I'm trying to get them to think about is that, you know, maybe Jesus is not a lesser God as they've been taught, but maybe he is Almighty God as well. You know, that there's three persons in the one Godhead.
Right, right. Yes, it's very difficult and takes a long time, but it's critical that we point them to the Jesus of the Bible because they're teaching a false Christ and a false gospel. Talk a little bit about the Christ of the New World Translation and explain to our listeners what the New World Translation is.
Well, it's real interesting historically. The New World Translation is a uniquely Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible. And for years, they did not print the translators. You know, now most Bibles that you can buy have the translators listed, so you can check their credentials, you know. But the Watchtower never did publish their names, and they said they wanted to give glory to Jehovah for this translation. But there was a major defection from the governing body, you know, and the guy who defected wrote a book called Crisis in Conscience, and, well, he kind of spilled the beans on the translators. And the thing is, not one of them had any formal training in Hebrew or Greek. Mm-hmm. Now, what they've done in this Bible is to reinsert the word Jehovah all throughout, not just the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, where it refers to the Father. And so, just to give you an example of a question I might ask, there is, why does the Watchtower take the liberty of inserting Jehovah all throughout the New Testament when there is not a single Greek manuscript that has Jehovah in it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always interesting to hear what they have to say about that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll come back and they'll start talking about the Trinity, and they'll say, well, you know, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'll say, well, neither is Jehovah. Jehovah is a man-made term that the Jews came up with. You won't find that in biblical manuscripts anywhere. And so, you know, like I said, these are some of the kinds of questions that you want to ask to get them to thinking. Mm-hmm. And your point is not to confuse them. Your point is to get them to think so that they can come to understand that Jesus really is the divine Savior who died on the cross for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Talk for a minute about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, I said that wrong, but in the John 1:1, where it talks about Jesus, the Son of God, being God, and what their translation shares and what they teach about Jesus related to that?
Well, that's a great question. You know, as a backdrop, Kay, you know that the Gospel of John is just loaded with the deity of Christ from beginning to end. And so they've got to do something with the Gospel of John. And so what they've done is they've retranslated it so that you would never recognize that Jesus was absolute deity. So John 1:1 is one example of that, and in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So in other words, Jesus was a God, but he's not God Almighty like the Father is. And so what they've basically done is they've inserted an indefinite article, even though the Greek language does not support that. Now, without getting all technical on you, let me just say that that exact same kind of construction in the original Greek is used of the Heavenly Father in the New Testament. So if you're going to say that Jesus is just a lesser God, you'd have to say the Father is a lesser God too. And then likewise, there are references to Jesus in the New Testament being the God and not just a God. I hope that makes sense. The point is that Jesus Christ is just as much God as the Father is.
Right, right. I want to make a few announcements, and we'll come back to continue talking about your book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Dr. Ron Rhodes and Harvest House Publishers have donated three of his books, Reasoning from the Scriptures, to Family Shield. We'll give them away through a drawing after the program is aired on all of our stations. If you'd like to have your name entered into the drawing, call our response center, 1-877-317 4326. Make sure you give your complete name and address. You can also email us through the website. I've also written a book on this same topic, Mission Field on Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses, and we're going to add three of my books to give away as well. Again, that number, 877-317-4326. Our goal is to help our listeners learn to respond in love to Jehovah's Witnesses. Family Shield is aired on 51 stations throughout the United States, and although the gospel is free, radio airtime is not. Family Shield is self-supporting and needs your support to continue to air the program in your community. We encourage your prayers and financial support. You can send a gift to Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123, or you can give a gift through PayPal. You can learn more on our website, www.FamilyShieldMinistries.com. Again, I want to mention that Dr. Ron Rhodes is my guest today, and our website has his ministry under our recommended links where you can get to his website for Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries and learn more about the many books and other ministry tools that this organization has. I know you'll want to do that. So, Dr. Rhodes, is there anything else you want to mention to our listeners related to your ministry?
Well, we're just a resource center for Christians. You know, we exist for one reason, and that is to help Christians to learn to reason from the Scriptures, whether it's with Jehovah's Witnesses or any other cult or any other atheist or agnostic or skeptic or whoever is challenging Christianity. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff people can download at our website, and we're there to help.
Thank you. Thanks so much for all that you do. It's great. So there is... another aspect of what witnesses teach about Jesus Christ that is incorrect. They think Christ is Michael the Archangel. Explain a little bit about why they think that and why that's wrong.
Well, they teach that billions of years ago, the Father created Jesus as the Archangel Michael. And then it was sometime after that that the Archangel Michael was used by Jehovah to create everything else in the universe. Now, they do appropriate certain verses to support this. For example, in Daniel chapter 10 and 12, there is a reference to Michael being one of the foremost princes. Well, that must be Jesus. You know, that must have been Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. And, you know, there's nothing in the text that says it was Jesus, but nevertheless, that's the conclusion that they come to. And when you look at the context there, it becomes very clear that that Michael is never portrayed as the pre-incarnate Son of God, but is the greatest among the angels. Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting is that when you go over to the New Testament, particularly in Colossians 1:16, we are told explicitly that Jesus created the angels. They're called principalities and powers and dominions and authorities. Those are Jewish rabbinic terms for angels. So Jesus isn't an angel. He's the creator of the angels. But you have to keep in mind, okay, what they're trying to do is come up with a theology that is cohesive. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to look for Bible verses that supports their idea that there's no Trinity, that Jesus is not God Almighty, and neither is the Holy Spirit a person who is God, but rather is God's force or energy. And so they translate the Bible toward that end. And every verse they quote, I can almost guarantee you that they are misquoting, which leads me to give you one piece of advice, you know, to whoever's listening, and that is this. Whenever they quote a verse from memory in support of one of their doctrines, always look it up in context.
Yeah.
Because I can almost promise you that it's being taken out of context.
Yes. One of the things that I've always seen as I've witnessed to many witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses over the years, is they're blinded to Scripture. And I believe there's a Bible verse that says those that aren't Christians can be blinded to what the Bible says. But I will look at a verse with them and read it, and they only seem to see a part of it, and the rest of it, they're just blinded. So I always tell people, pray for the blindness to be lifted as you talk to them. And in your book, you mention, have them read it out loud, then have them reread it. Talk about why you share that suggestion.
Well, that is so important, and the reason why I do that is because they tend to read every verse, whether the Old Testament or New Testament, through the lens of Watchtower books. Mm-hmm. In other words, when they're reading John 1:1, they're going to read that verse through what they've been told from Jehovah's Witness literature. Now, by having them read the verse out loud, phrase by phrase, the goal is to help them take off that Watchtower lens mm-hmm. so they can see the verse for themselves. And I'm glad that you mentioned that part about the blindness that people have, because one of the things I've been recommending to people a lot is to pray what I call the Lydia prayer. And you might remember that Lydia in the book of Acts was a woman that that the Lord opened her heart mm-hmm. so that she could understand the gospel. That's what the text mm-hmm. says. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about praying the Lydia prayer, that means that you pray for the Jehovah's Witness so that God opens their heart so that they can understand what the Bible really says. I don't have the power to open their heart. Neither do you, neither does anybody great, any other great apologist. Only God can open the human heart, and so that's why the prayer is so very, very important. But reading the verse out loud is a great way to help them take off that preconditioned mindset mm-hmm. that is basically loaded with Watchtower false teachings.
Absolutely, and it is only the Holy Spirit that can open their hearts, so prayer can help us do that in any way that we can to help them. Letting them read, you're asking great questions, making them think through and seeing the things that don't work right. They, you know, Scripture interprets Scripture. Some of this they just don't understand. Most Jehovah's Witnesses, either they were raised in the Watchtower Society and then know nothing else, or they were nominal Christians that didn't know God's Word well, and they became witnesses, and they, I love them, and I know you do too. We're not angry at them. We know that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation. And you can read those verses, but if you don't understand who Jesus really is, it's not going to be the power of God for salvation. Let's talk for a minute about how we reach them besides dealing with some of these questions and praying for them and asking them to witness. We have about 5 minutes left, Ron.
Well, let me say, first of all, I really appreciate you mentioning the love part, you know, loving Jehovah's Witnesses, because that is absolutely critical. The Jehovah's Witnesses tend to view themselves as God's martyrs on earth. And so they've been trained to expect Christians, you know, apostate Christians, to treat them rudely.
Yes.
And indeed, I have talked to many Jehovah's Witnesses.
Unfortunately, many people do, yeah.
Yeah, well, they do. They'll slam the door in their face and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not just a matter of telling them about Jesus. It's also a matter of letting Jesus shine through you. You know, they've got to see that you've got that same love that Jesus has. And so you want the barriers to come down. You don't want to erect new barriers by having an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a foundational point. But next, I would do some of the things that I've mentioned earlier. For example, always look verses up in context.
Okay.
And also carefully define the words that you use on the doorstep, because they use the same words we do from the New Testament. And unless you define those words, you won't have true communication. Don't have a spiritual chip on your shoulder. You know, that's the idea that you're kind of looking down at them saying, that, I'm glad that you came by today, because you're really in error, and I'm going to set you straight. You don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to close the door. Next, never give up. Mm-hmm. You know, my old friend, I'm sure he was your friend as well, Walter Martin, he used to talk about how, you know, don't ever close the door to talk with the Jehovah's Witness unless they definitively close it themselves.
Right.
Until they close the door, you just keep on meeting with them, and you consider it a kingdom opportunity. And what I like to do, Kay, is also to invite one or both of them to return. Here's why. I know that there's always a trainer and an apprentice there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I know that it's going to be harder to reach the trainer. It'll be easier to reach the apprentice. So what I always tell them is, be sure to feel free to come back to my house either as a group or individually. You're free to come back here individually if you'd like to talk more. And so I do that, knowing that there's a possibility that one of them could come back and to want to chat a little bit more. So all of that, combined with asking effective questions, is a great way to reach Jehovah's Witnesses. And like I said, there's over 350 of those questions found in the book.
That's great. You know, Ron, I wrote an article a few years ago that the Jehovah's Witnesses have skipped my home for almost 30 years. And they probably skip yours, too.
Probably got you in their database.
They do. And it's only by accident. And there have been a few times where somebody has stopped by not knowing. And I, you know, it's just very frustrating to me because I do want them to come. And I do want to share Christ with them in a loving way.
Yes.
But they always skip my home. So it's challenging, but we need to pray. And when you said never give up, my ministry began back in 1981 when I witnessed to a Jehovah's Witness for the very first time, turned my life upside down. And that lady is still a Jehovah's Witness today, and I still have her and her husband and now her two children on our prayer list. And I ask others to pray, too. I don't want to give up. They won't talk to me anymore. I mean, literally, they won't, unfortunately. But God can still touch their hearts. And so I don't ever want to give up. And I want our listeners not to give up on their relatives and friends, too. Don't just say, I can't do it. Remember, we don't do it.
Yep.
God does.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, God is the one who converts. We're just the witnesses, you know. We witness Jesus and then leave the results in God's hands.
You bet. You bet. Again, my guest has been Dr. Ron Rhodes. We've been talking about reasoning from the scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to recommend this book. There's just so much in it that we didn't get to touch on. I wanted to talk about the Great Divide, the anointed class, and the other sheep, and we didn't even touch on that. And there's so many other things, understanding the soul and the soul's sleep. But we touched on some things, and we prayed first, so it had to have been what God wanted us to do today. Don't forget, we're going to give away some of his books. We also have tracts that you can receive if you'd like them that will help you learn to respond in love to Jehovah's Witnesses. This is Kay Meyer with Family Shield. Learn more on our website, www.familyshieldministries.com. Don't forget Dr. Ron Rhodes' website and information is also under our recommended links. Again, Kay Meyer with Family Shield. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a radio production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people to know Christ, grow in His Word, and strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123, or call 1-877-317-4326. A CD of today's program is available upon request. Tune in next week for more Family Shield.